Talking about forgiveness tonight, we've talked about peace, love, joy, and long-suffering. And tonight we're going to talk about another fruit that should be produced in our lives as Christians, which is forgiveness. And this is a tough one because there's a lot sometimes that we have to forgive. And the thing about unforgiveness, what is so bad about unforgiveness is we're the slave to that, not the other person. We're the ones imprisoned by unforgiveness. You know, we're the ones that are captive by it. We're the ones that can't move because of it. We're the ones that always are carrying the grudge, the bitterness, the anger. And that's not healthy for our lives to carry that. And I know that we've had hurts in our lives. I know people have hurt us. People have come against us. Some of us have hard lives, real hard lives. Some of us had abusive lives or abandoned lives. We grew up in homes with alcoholic parents, drug addict parents, no father in the home. Situations that shape our lives to where we are as adults. And we look back and think, I can't forgive how mom or dad treated me. I can't forgive how I grew up. I can't forgive the things that happened to me. I can't forgive even my ex-wife or ex-husband in a previous relationship. I can't forgive what they've done. So I'm going to hang on to that and hang on to that and hang on to that. We are prisoners of that. We're the ones that are captive by that. We're the ones that suffer more than anybody. But even the greater thing is that when we don't walk in forgiveness, we are not reflecting our Heavenly Father, because Jesus is all about forgiveness. And we'll go to the verse tonight, and it's not just forgiving one time. If Gordon hurts me, and I go to him, say, you hurt me, and Gordon says, you know what, I'm sorry, brother, you forgive me, I forgive you. And he hurts me again 3 days later, and he comes to me and says, brother, I did it again, didn't I? I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Yes, Gordon, I forgive you. A week later, he hurts me again. I go back to him. There's no three-strike ruling out when it comes to forgiveness. There's no limits on forgiveness. There's no amount of times that we don't forgive. And that's what gets tough. I'll forgive you once, but I can't forgive you again. Forgiveness is an ongoing fruit, just like joy and peace and love and long-suffering. Forgiveness isn't something we do one day and just, okay, I've forgiven, I've done it, I'm stopping. It's an ongoing fruit we produce because people are going to hurt us our whole lives. So let's get into this about forgiveness. We're going to start out, the first verse I'm going to start out in, this is kind of our key verse, and this goes with all the fruits we're talking about in this series. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have now become new. This is a verse that we need to really stick to as Christians, because what Paul is saying, if we are in Christ, we don't act the way we used to. And this goes for forgiveness. It don't just go for the big sins that we like to always talk about. It does include the big sins too. But it includes things like, if I'm a new creation, I can't be that old battle axe I used to be. Oh, I see a lot of punching going on back there. I can't see that. If I'm in Christ, I'm not supposed to be that old person anymore that used to just lose his head and hold a grudge and not love and not forgive and not show mercy. Not if you're in Christ. We're supposed to be new. We have a new reflection. Just like I showed the Lion King clip Sunday morning. And remember, he saw the reflection and said, that's not me. That's a reflection. But he went back to take his rightful place at Pride Rock. He went back and realized, this isn't who I am. I'm not supposed to be wandering around with a warthog in the middle of the jungle eating insects. I'm the king of a nation. When we talk about forgiveness, we're not who we used to be. Maybe you used to be that person never forgive. You were bitter. You were angry. You held a grudge, and you always wanted to stare down. You know, you didn't even go blink. I'll win the stare down because I'm that good. You used to be that person, but now you're in Christ. We're supposed to reflect our Father. So that's a key verse for all these fruits. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's get into forgiveness tonight specifically. This we'll start in Psalms 10. Oh yeah, because God did this. I'm gonna read several verses of what God did. Okay, so that's why I've got a title, because God did this. And here's the verses. Psalms 103, starting with verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Can somebody say amen to that? Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. In other words, God didn't say, ha ha, Gail. Gotcha. Yeah, amen. He doesn't work that way. He's not rewarded us with what we deserved. He rewarded us with what we did not deserve. And that's why it's called grace and mercy. It is something that we didn't earn, that we can't even keep, but God bestowed upon us. He did not punish us the way we should have been punished because of his mercy. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. This is why it's called good news. This is why the gospel is good news. So many Christians don't want to be Christians because all they hear is bad news. They don't hear the good news of what Christ did. They just hear of what you can't do anymore after you get saved. And all the stuff that God's holding against you. And all the stuff you've done in the past. But if we read these verses, this is what God truly did for us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. Hallelujah for that. And he remembereth that we are dust. What this is saying, if Jesus was a Southern in the United States living today, here's what he would say instead of this verse. Bless y'all's heart. Bless your heart. He knows our frame and knows we're just dust. Bless your heart. Gail, bless your heart. You can't help it. You can't help you're obstinate and you're bullheaded. And you can't help it you mess up. And you can't help you run that mouth and you shouldn't. Bless his little heart. He's just made of dust. And you know what? God made Gail, didn't he? God made him. I love that. He knows who we are. He knows we're going to fail. But yet, in spite of that, he is in his covenant here in Psalms says that I'm going to remove your sins and transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Next verse, we're talking about what God did. Look at Isaiah 43:25. Oh, this is powerful. Gordon, read that verse out loud. Man, this is the good news, right? I'm going to blot out your transgressions, though you deserve to die and be condemned and suffer punishment. I'm going to not remember them anymore because I'm going to take care of them by forgiving you of all of your sins. And not just the big ones, but the little ones. And not just yesterday, but today and tomorrow and forevermore. Because Hebrews says there was one offering made. He went in one time for all people forevermore. That's what Christ did. So we read this and like, man, I blotteth out your transgressions for my sake. And I will remember your sins no more. Jesus forgave us through Calvary. Next scripture. The book of Micah. This is found right after the book of Jonah. If you want to know where that's at, it's right after Jonah. Little book called Micah, a minor prophet in the Old Testament, chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Which means forgiven. He forgives iniquity. Everybody knows what pardon means, right? We know what pardon means. It means that I'm pardoning you. You know, all presidents always pardon folks on the way out of the office, right? They always have people they go pardon. Which means they're guilty of something, but they're being pardoned for it. No consequence. Yeah, being forgiven. I forgive you, no consequence, I'm pardoning you, I'm removing it, you're all good, everything is cool between me and you, it's good. Who is a God that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he, now this is a very key part of this verse, he delighteth in mercy. He delighteth in it. We've always pictured God, I'm fire and thunder. And I'm just waiting for Joe Brown to do one wrong step so I can zap his Ohio hind end out of his world. He is going to die if he steps out because I'm angry at Joe and I'm mad at Joe because he messed up. And I'm angry. Here we see where he actually delights in mercy. He wants to show mercy. He delights in giving mercy. He wants to forgive. He delights in forgiving. He loves to forgive. That's what God is. God is love. God doesn't delighteth in anger. He delighteth in mercy.
He showed us mercy. That's what God did. And we're building all this up. And we'll get to the second part in a minute of what we should do because of what God has done. But I want to paint a picture of what God's done, because then you can't argue with me because God did this, okay? Next verse, verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. The word subdue means to overcome. He will overcome our own iniquities. And thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. If you're on a cruise ship, and I don't encourage that, but if you're on a cruise ship and you're on the balcony and Melanie drops a bracelet overboard in the ocean, is she getting that bracelet back? It's gone, right? It's lost. It's in the depth of the sea, never to be seen again. Picture that with your sins and the forgiveness of God. I'm not seeing that anymore. I'm seeing the sacrifice that was at Calvary that paid the price for all of your sins. That's what I'm seeing. And I know a big part of our problem is that it's hard for us to forgive ourselves. And I've got a notation on that at the very end of this message. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, yeah, God forgave me and I can forgive others, but my problem is, Pastor, I can't forgive myself. We'll talk about that in just at the end. Next scripture. Hebrews 8:12. Go ahead and read that verse again.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
It's the word of God, church. This is God's word. This is why it's good news. For too long, preachers have tried to browbeat people into bondage with their failures and their mistakes instead of setting them free by sharing the mercy and forgiveness of God. That's what Jesus says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Who I set free, you'll be free. But as long as we're still in the law and that bondage of sin, we stay bound and condemned in that. But when we see Jesus, who he truly is, we're set free. Man, we're set free. I will remember their iniquities no more. Next scripture. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. Hebrews 10, verse 16, if you can't see it. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, that I will put my laws in their hearts. This is what we've been talking about, right? Our hearts. I've used an example many times. The reason that I don't go into Walmart and steal something is not the fear of getting caught, because it's very easy to steal at Walmart. Sharon, how do you know that? Oh, because you work there. Okay. Scared. Okay. Oh, she's the first one. Yes. Okay. Oh, shake her down the way out to church. But anyway, it's very easy still at Walmart, right? I mean, people ain't half on the floor. You got a million places to hide. They got rid of the scanning goes because of that, because there's so much high theft. People are just stealing stuff up, stealing blind. They got rid of them. But I don't not steal at Walmart because of getting caught. I don't not steal at Walmart because it's not in my heart to steal. I'm not a thief in my heart. Now, I've definitely got my imperfections, and my wife knows them all, and she would testify to those imperfections for sure. But a thief, I'm not. I'm not a thief. And I wouldn't go steal something because it's not in my heart to do it, because my heart, that's not where it's at. Before the grace came, the people of Israel had to go, you know, one time a year, they would go in and they would, you know, bring their sacrifice for their annual sins to be removed. They would bring their goats, their doves, whatever they could afford. And the priest would put his hand on them, pray over the goat, put his hand on the cow, the bird, the dove, whatever they had, according to how rich you were or poor you were. They brought what they could. He would lay his hand on their animal, pray, and then all the sins of that family would go into that animal. And then they would burn the animal up, and then their sins would burn up in the fire. And for a year, they were good again. But the Bible says in Hebrews that priests stood there often, day by day, ministering and offering, but it never took away sin. But after this man sat down, after this man came once and for all, there is no more need for offering. There's no more offering needed. Jesus fulfilled that. And what I'm saying is, in the old, before the Holy Spirit came into our lives, We always were born with a conscience. I mean, don't get me wrong. We have a conscience. That's why little kids, even, you know, little, it's Bo. I keep them mixed up. James. Think about my name being the youngest. He's James. James is what, 3 years old? You know, he already knows right from wrong. He knows that. Do you know psychologists have proven that a child forms the majority of its moral behavior by the time it is 6 years old? Six. So if you wait to 13 to put a belt on your kid, it's too late. You got to put a belt on your kid at like 3 months. I'm just saying. I mean, you ain't got much time. You got 6 years. So you better hurry. D, you better hurry. You're getting close on one at one. Well, he's already turned six, right? Maverick? Yeah. That's why, you know, Randy is so adamant on the children's ministry and realizing that you may think that little Kingston's back there running around not listening to nothing. Little Hudson's back there. He ain't hearing a thing. Randy's back there just being, and Jesus walked on Galilee. You know, Hudson's swinging from the chandelier. But you know what? They're hearing it. They're hearing it. That's how they learn. You can't have a three-year-old sit there like this for 45 minutes. Yes, Rabbi. I hear you, teacher. Yes, Mr. Randy. Especially boys. They're not going to sit down that long. They are learning and they are hearing. And Randy is so adamant about teaching these kids at an early age, 2, 3, 4, 5. He realized the importance of forming that foundation. But in the old, before grace came, you know, we think about this. If your reason for not doing something is more of getting caught than it is of conviction, we need to examine where we are. Am I not doing something because I don't want to get caught, or am I not doing it because God is speaking to me not to do it? It's not in my heart to be a thief, not in my heart to be a liar, not in my heart to do these things. And that's what he's saying, that God said, I'm going to go from being outward observations only to an inward transformation. To an inward transformation. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It transforms us on the inside. And that's why we should be producing these fruits. If we don't really love our brothers, because our heart's not been changed. If we don't really live in peace, our heart's not been changed. If we don't walk in joy, our heart's not been changed. If we don't walk in long suffering, our heart's not been changed. And if we don't walk in forgiveness, it's because our heart hasn't really been changed. We let God change us on the inside. And that means letting go of all the stuff that we're holding on to. I'm going to put your laws in your heart, and in your minds will I write them. You're going to have knowledge on the outside, but also on the inside of who I am. And you look at verse 17. And their sins, we read this many times already. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. This is what God has done. Next slide. And this, we'll close out this part with what God's done. Luke 23. He did it. Jesus himself did it in front of everybody. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified with him two malefactors, which just means criminals, people that broke the law or did something wrong. One on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, now remember, Jesus on the cross being crucified for something he done no wrong. All he did was preach peace and joy and love. He healed the lepers. He healed the crippled. He healed the blind. He raised the dead. He did no wrong. And they're crucifying him. They're hurting him. They're spitting on him. They're mocking him. They got him hung between two common criminals. And here's what he says. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What love in Jesus' heart to forgive the ones that were destroying and killing him. And I say this all the time. I don't try to make light of it, but it's the truth. Man, we'll avoid somebody at Walmart because we've got a grudge against them. Over something stupid. And we keep that separation for year after year after year instead of just going to them and saying, you know what, let's just clear the air. Look, I know you're mad at me, and I'm mad at you. Now, I didn't mean all this to happen for all these years, but I want to make things right. Can we bury the hatchet right here on aisle four, right now? Let's bury this hatchet, and I want to say I'm sorry. And you'll be surprised the response you'll get if you do that. Because love never fails. And forgiving someone is action of love. It's putting them first. Jesus forgave the ones that crucified him, giving us a pattern of what we should do. And none of us are being hung on a cross and being beaten. So if he did all that, here's what we should do. Are you ready? Here's some verses. Number one, be the first to forgive no matter what. We should be the first. But I did nothing wrong. Just make it right. Be the first one. Well, I'm tired of always giving in because I always got to be the first one. Keep being the first one. Because people that walk in unforgiveness are walking in their own prison. And they are a miserable human being. But man, when you get set free and you can have no, it's much easier to bump into someone at Walmart and be able to shake their hand than avoid them. You're texting your spouse. Oh, OMG, guess who's here? You put all these emojis. Oh, I'm on in the HBA section. Come find me. Okay. Hope they don't see you as you leave. That ain't no life to live. Or here's a picture. If there's someone here tonight in your mind that when you think of them, the first image you think of them is a negative image. That's a real gauge for, you know what? I might need to work on that. So if any of y'all are looking at me tonight with those eyeballs, then we will have an altar call, slap you with oil. We'll play the drums till you swing from the chandeliers, and the Holy Ghost will fill this place up, and y'all are going to all walk out here forgiving me. I'm just saying. Think about that. If you think of a person right now that you are holding on to, that you absolutely, when you think of them, it's a negative image. And I guarantee we all in here have someone that we think that way. Maybe not we're necessarily bitter or even angry toward, but that things just aren't right between us and them. And you know it. Be the first one to forgive no matter what they've done to you or no matter if you're right and they're wrong. I want to tell you something. Eating crow sometimes is the best meal you can have because it solves the problem. Don't be too proud to eat crow. Don't be too proud to say, you know what, this isn't worth this happening. Even if you have done no wrong you can think about, just make it right. Let's read a verse about this, a couple of verses about forgiving no matter what. Luke 17:3, this is Jesus talking. Take heed to yourselves that if your brother trespass against you, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Nothing wrong with going to someone. If D hurts me, she might not even know it. She does something to really hurt me. I know as a pastor, I mean, I know I probably have hurt people through the years. I'm not foolish. I mean, I've preached hundreds and hundreds of services, talked to thousands of people. I mean, I'm going to offend somebody. But if D hurts me in some way, there's nothing wrong with going to D and saying, D, I just want to talk to you. Can I talk to you a minute? Yeah. I don't know if you know, but you really hurt me. Most of the response, most time, 9 out of 10 is going to be, oh, I did, or, oh, really? Yes. And 9 out of 10 times, D's out there are going to say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Then I say, no, sucker! I hope you burn! Burn, baby, burn! No, that's not our response. And our response isn't this. No! Loser! Our response is, yes, D. I accept it, and I forgive you. Next verse. But what if D does it a bunch of times? If D trespasses against me 7 times a day, and 7 times a day I turn to her and say, repent, you shall forgive her. The principle Jesus is teaching here is forgiveness is not a one-time deal. We forgive as many times as needed, which means that we walk in a state of forgiveness. Forgiveness shouldn't be an act we perform. It should be a fruit that we produce. And there's a difference. And I know that it's hard to forgive some things and some people and some situations. But we are the ones that carry that. It imprisons us. We're a slave to it. And we are not reflecting our Father in the best light when we don't forgive everyone that trespasses against us. Because what if Jesus was on the cross and says, Father, forgive them, except for Dee and Nikki and Shirley and Lillian and Marjorie and Teresa. Or Lord, forgive them until they mess up again. Lord, forgive Gordon, but if you mess up again, Lord, zap them. That's how we as Christians seem to treat others that we might forgive once or a couple times. Now, I'm not saying this. I want to make this very clear. I'm not saying you got to be buddy-buddy. D keeps hurting me. I ain't going to go out to lunch with her. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be all cozying up, you know. Oh, I just love getting hurt. Hey, D, you want to go see a movie? But what it does mean is that I have to keep my spirit free. I don't have to be a best buddy. I don't have to hang out personally with someone, but I can't let the bitterness of them get inside of me because it poisons me. It poisons me. Oh, Ebenezer Scrooge, remember? The great Christmas movie, Ebenezer Scrooge. He's a nasty old man, wasn't he? Tight and didn't hate Christmas and the Christmas spirit and workaholic and didn't help the poor and he's a rich man and just a Scrooge. Until little angels came and showed him the difference of his life. And all of a sudden, you know what happened to Ebenezer Scrooge? 2 Corinthians 5:17 happened to him. Old things have passed away and everything is new. Hey, young boy, what day is it? It's Christmas, sir. Christmas. Go get the biggest turkey that you got and deliver it to this address. Here's the money. Merry Christmas. Man, he made a radical change. That's how we should be as Christians. We go from being an Ebenezer Scrooge to a Richard Simmons. You know, he's always smiling, happy, laughing. You can do it. Come on. Work that. 1 and a 2 and a 3. Oh, you're just so beautiful. I sound Mickey Mouse. Yeah, I'm sorry. My Mickey voice came out. Anyway. Oh, boys. Hello, boys and girls. Anyway. We should. That's what true change does. Spiritual change. And that's how we should be. So no matter how many times someone hurts you, it doesn't mean that you have to let them in to a point that you have a relationship with them, but it does mean that we can't have anything against them. I want to be free in my spirit, God, that there's nobody in my life that I'm letting control me to that point. Because that's another factor you got to think about. If someone has got you to a point you can't forgive them, they have the power over your life. You've given them power. You're feeding the monster. And you're letting them win. Kill them with kindness, the old saying, right? Heap coals of fire on their head and keep forgiving over and over and over. 7 times, 8 times, 20 times, walk in forgiveness. Next scripture. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, and here's what we like. Now, I'm pulling the preacher card out here. Look what it says. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. The same thing. We forgive one another because Christ forgave us. As we see the pattern of what he did in our lives. Remember the parable of the man that owed money to the king? And he went to the king. He's going to be, you know, in trouble for owing him. He hadn't paid him. He's going to be punished. And he begged the king, Lord, please, you know, forgive me. He owed him so much money, so many talents, whatever. And he said, I tell you what, I forgive you of your debt. Go in peace. He forgave him of all his debt. Well, that same man that got forgiven, what did he do? He went and found a man that owed him money and tried getting the shakedown. And says, you owe me money. After he'd just been forgiven by the king for his debt. Well, the king found out about it, brought the boy back, and of course was mad and angry, and he was punished. He didn't learn the lesson of, I've forgiven you, now you go forgive them. The pass it forward deal, right? If we can pay for someone's food order in Chick-fil-A behind us, surely we can forgive someone. Even as Christ did, we do. It's a pattern he's given us. The second point about what we do, forgive often, and here's the key, without grudge. The Bible talks about another place about grudge, about giving in one place, where it says, as you give, give not grudgingly. In other words, don't give with remorse. Don't give, you know, reluctantly. Don't give because you have to, but you don't really want to. Give, be a cheerful giver. When we forgive people, be cheerful about it. Don't do it with a grudge. Well, I got to forgive you. God says I got to forgive you. My preacher says I got to forgive you. The Bible says I got to forgive you. So here, I forgive you. But nothing's really changed. We're not forgiving them. We just went through the motions. Nothing's happened inside. Here's some verses about forgive often without grudge. Matthew 6:12, Jesus again speaking. Forgive us. But this is the Lord's Prayer. I mean, it's so important the Lord included in what we call the Lord's Prayer. Talking about how we pray. This part of the prayer. Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me, but I don't want to forgive him. Lord, I'm glad you died for my sins and forgave me, but I can't forgive what Gail did to me, Lord. Goodbye, D. Have a good night. We are to forgive others, once again, as God has forgiven us. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. And we can do that if we really are walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. The flesh gives every reason why we can't forgive. They've done it over and over. They're mean. They don't care. They've done it before. They're, you know, whatever. We can make all these excuses. There's no excuses necessary. I've said this many times. After we have been born again, all of us have sinned. Not been one person not sinned since we've been saved. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't take it back? Oop, take it back. I now unforgive. I unforgive you. Yeah, that's right. I forgive you of all of your sins. Oop. Diane Lewis, man, she messed up. On that hot date in 1966. Mm-mm, she broke all the Pentecostal rules. Yeah, I'm unforgiving her. Thank God he doesn't step in and do that. So why do we do that with people? It's so much easier to walk in forgiveness. Something we should be bearing as his children. Next verse. This is also Matthew 18. Then came Peter. You got to love old Peter. I tell you, Peter was denied him three times and then became the first spokesman for the gospel. The Lord works mysterious ways, doesn't he? Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? That's what the law said. That was part of the law. That's why Peter said, so Lord, what do you say? The law said I forgive him seven times. What do you say? Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I say not to you seven times, but 70 times seven. And it doesn't mean for you mathematicians 49 times, okay? It's an example. What he's saying is you forgive as many times as you have to forgive. Not just not what the law says, but what grace says. And forgiveness is something we do forever. There's no expiration date on when we stop forgiving. Or no, many times my hurts us that we stop forgiving. We keep on forgiving. Peter wanted to know the answer. He told him. And now he's like, okay. So I've got to always forgive. Always. That's tough. Next scripture. Now here's again 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things, how we used to be, is supposed to be passed away. And all things are now supposed to be new. This is what spiritual fruit does. It transforms us into a different person. Do you know somebody? Maybe you're here today and you were really a different person before you got saved. Some of you might have got saved young, so you never got on a real bad track. Some of you may have got saved older. And before you got saved, you were a bad, bad, bad person or whatever, what you would call a bad person. You just did what you wanted. But then once you gave your life to Jesus, things changed for you. You didn't talk the way you used to talk. You had more self-control. You loved deeper. You loved more. You walked in peace. You walked in mercy and forgiveness toward others. You walked in less judgment because God has changed you. That's what these fruits that we're talking about are supposed to be producing. As Christians, we're supposed to love no matter how they look, no matter what they've done. We're supposed to walk in peace no matter what's going on around us. We're supposed to be long-suffering no matter what's coming against us. We're supposed to walk in joy because, remember, joy is not attached to what's our circumstances. Joy is attached to God only. Happiness is attached to circumstances, not joy. We can be happy and not have no joy, Gordon. We can be happy, not have a bit of joy. That's why folks party, because they're partying, they're happy. But there's no joy. There's a moment of happiness, a moment of pleasure, but there's no joy. True joy of God has nothing to do with our circumstances. The joy is of the Lord, and no man taketh that away. Next slide. Here's what I'm talking about, forgiving yourself. Now, this is something that's hard for us to do because the devil, the Bible says the devil is an accuser. He accuses us all the time. Remember this. He's always bringing up what we've done wrong or even what we're doing wrong now. He brings up how we missed the mark all the time. And we know we missed the mark. The Bible says that. You've all come short of the glory of God. All of us. Remember, old things have passed away. You're not who you used to be. I was talking to someone over here at the church last night doing some marriage counseling. I was over here talking, and I told him, I said, you know, and this person had an alcoholic father in the home growing up. He's been sober for 20-some years. He's passed away now. He got sober for 20-some years before he passed away. But one thing I so disagree with, because this goes against everything that God's Word says. You go to an AA meeting, you have to open up with saying, I am James Lewis, and I am an alcoholic. Now, I know the science behind that. I get the philosophy behind it. Because you were, you always will be, because you've got those genes and those tendencies and that addiction gene, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But how encouraging can that be to someone who walks to a meeting and the first thing they got to say is, hey, I'm James Lewis and I'm an alcoholic? That just keeps reminding us of what we were, not what we are. That'd be like us saying, I'm James Lewis and I'm lost and a sinner. No, I was lost. We sing that song, don't we? Amazing Grace. I once was what? But now I'm what? I mean, duh. But how many times do we say that? I'm James Lewis and I'm just an old sinner. Well, I mean, I was a sinner. Now, yes, do I still sin? Of course I make mistakes. But I'm talking about, for the grace of God, I'm not standing in that judgment of being a sinner anymore. I'm now the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. That's who I am. So now what I say is, I'm James Lewis, and I am a child of God. I have now passed from darkness into light. I am now an heir of God. I am now a co-heir of Christ. I am now the redeemed. I have now been reconciled to God. I am now justified. I am now sanctified. I am now glorified. I am who God says I am now. I'm not who I used to be, but I'm changed because of what Christ has done. And this is how we forgive ourselves. So forgive your, I put that in big letters, so forgive yourself. Because the reason we need to do this, if we don't, self-condemnation keeps you from seeing the real Jesus. Because when we're in self-condemnation, we never see the mercy and the grace and the incredible love Christ had for us. All we see is the wrath and the judgment that stands against us. And so that judgment's never removed because we keep judging ourselves. We look in the mirror, you dirty, rotten scoundrel. That's a Western movie, wasn't it? Dirty, rotten scoundrel. You dirty, rotten scoundrel. Yes. We can't change one thing we've done in our past that is over, that is gone. As the song Marjorie sings, yesterday is gone and tomorrow is come or something. But anyway, the point of that song is yesterday is gone. What's the rest of it? Yesterday is gone, sweet Jesus. That's a different song. And tomorrow. What's that song? I got two songs. Go ahead, Mom. You were singing it. Oh, that don't go good, my message. Won't do that. Anyway. The part I was thinking about was just yesterday's gone. So focus on that. Your tomorrow will come, okay? Your tomorrow will come because Jesus is in your tomorrow. Boy, that was, phew, I stuck my foot in that one. It was terrible. I don't really go either. Okay, I just messed that up all the way. Yesterday's gone, church, okay? That's all that matters. Yesterday's gone. So forgive yourselves, because when you can forgive yourself, that's when you know you've crossed over into seeing the reality of who Jesus is. And man, if Jesus says he's forgiven me, and then I think about this, if Joe can forgive me, and then, well, first of all, Joe knows God's forgiven him of all his sins, and then Joe can forgive me of anything I've done to him, why is it hard for him to forgive himself of what he has done? And that's a trick of the enemy, the accuser. Because if Joe never can forgive himself, he misses out on the beauty of the grace of Jesus. and how big it really is. And he keeps himself in bondage and doesn't experience the fullness of the joy and the peace he can have in Christ, because all he has seen is what he was and not what he is. Forgiveness is powerful. It's a fruit that is powerful for our own lives, and it is a great light that others can see our Heavenly Father because of it. So forgive. Forgive. And I know there's people in your life that you probably have a hard time doing that because of past hurts and pains they've caused you. But for your own sake and for the sake of the Lord, the sake of your future, it's so much easier to say, you know what? Lord, you did forgive me when I failed. Think about how many times we've heard maybe preaching or teaching where you still hear it. You know, Gordon's out. He's at the house on a Friday night, and he does one thing he shouldn't do. Just makes a mistake. Trumpet sounds. Gordon don't make it. Because God happened to catch him in that 30-minute window of his whole life to where he was messing up. We've been trained that way. It's no wonder we don't have no peace. It's no wonder Christians don't have any peace to celebrate the freedom that's in Christ. He's paid that price. Now, I understand we need to serve God the best of our abilities. We strive to do that. I'm just thankful that my righteousness is not based on my righteousness. It's based on His righteousness. Hallelujah. Come do one more song in closing, Mark. Just do a little something. We've got 5 minutes. We'll close out with a song tonight in worship. But we'll close out. And this is the fifth fruit we've talked about. I don't know what we'll get into next Wednesday. We'll see. But forgiveness is a big one. Definitely a big one. Y'all stay on your feet. We'll close out with a worship song. Let me pray as well. As we heard this message tonight, Lord, of forgiveness, I just pray that it speaks to our hearts, that it comes alive, that this seed, Lord, jumps inside of us, that maybe you've even brought people or situations into our minds, even tonight sitting here hearing this message, that we need to make right. We need to let go. We need to go to them even and say, make a phone call, send a text, have a visit, something to say, hey, I just want you to know I'm sorry. And forgive me of anything I've done to you. God, Lord, just let that seed come alive to where it sets us free. And more importantly, God, it shows the light of who you are, our Heavenly Father. Let this word become reality. Let us use it. Let it be manifested in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We've been washed by your blood, and that our sins are forgiven, and our yesterdays are gone, and our tomorrow is certain and secure because of that precious blood. We give you praise and honor for you being in this place tonight. Let us leave here, God, ready to produce that fruit that will point people to who our Father is, that they will see you are a God of love and mercy and redemption no matter what they've done, that they can boldly come to the throne of grace saying, Jesus, is there room for me? Forgive me, God, for all that I've done. And he will say, yes, child, enter in to that gate forevermore. We thank you, Lord. Let us be bearers of your fruit the rest of this week, wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.